And it's good to see faces again. We've been through a lot through the last 14 weeks, and I can tell you right now that I do not have a calling as a televangelist. It's something that I was not prepared for, giving a message to the camera each week, and that's something that shared from all the staff here. We talked a lot about our struggles of trying to stay connected with all of you while we're all apart. And our last service together was March 8th, and there's probably hours and hours of outtake reels that we could watch together from all of those recordings that went sideways. But now we're here in person. We have some of you, and we have you in the live stream back there. And we're just in an interesting time where we continue to be a church while we're apart. And I think in a lot of ways we made the best of a bad situation in our worship at home over those weeks. But we also had a hard time working through some things that were difficult as a church family. And that's one of our greatest assets is each other and the relationships we build. So we think about all that we've gone through in those 14 weeks since we've, I almost said 14 months because that's what it feels like, but 14 weeks since we've been together. Now on March 8th was our first Sunday with Pastor Chris. And, you know, it might come up in his annual review that he only made it here for two of his first 15 Sundays. But we'll almost have to reintroduce you to Pastor Chris once again. We welcome Pastor Phil on full time, and now he's starting in a new role, pastor of student ministries and young adults. And so he'll be expanding that role to be working with our college students and our 20-somethings, and we're excited to have him come on officially in early July. Another thing that we are going to be celebrating next week that we haven't had a chance to announce until today is that the Bronsons will be leaving us. They have been such a blessing to us, and what we can celebrate is that Danny has been given, they voted him as a full-time pastor, lead pastor at a church in Eagan. And so it's amazing how God worked that all together. And do you have a start date for that yet, Mandy?
I think July 20th.
July 20th, I think. I know it's kind of in motion, right? And so I also heard that you're looking at possibly moving into a house in that area as well.
An offer was accepted yesterday.
Okay. So they just had an offer accepted on their house for those of you viewing at home. And so we're going to take a moment next Sunday, June 21st, which also happens to be Father's Day, just to remember the Bronsons and what a blessing they've been. But for those of you who are just catching up with the story, it really started after our last youth pastor moved out. Then we heard that there's missionaries, mutual friends of missionaries we support, the Bronson family, who had a son born, their sixth son born with some complications. And just this Friday is the one-year anniversary of his liver transplant, and so they needed a place close to the cities that they could go at any moment. Our parsonage was open. It was perfect. They moved right in, and they've just really wedged their way into our hearts ever since. So it's going to be a bittersweet moment. We're so happy for you and for Danny, but we also want to send them off. So next Sunday, Danny will be sharing the message with us, and we'll catch up with all of them, but also we'll have a drive-through farewell at the West Parsonage here at 11:30, if you want to gather and just say goodbye to them. They do have to be a little bit heightened in their awareness because of Boaz and just his his immune system being compromised, so they won't be accessible for handshakes or hugs or anything, but we do ask, we would love to have you all here for that farewell. I also want to let you know that our Connections Hours will not be meeting in person this summer, but Donna has been recording some messages that are available on our website. She's working through a series, Journey of Faith, with different biblical heroes, and the first two have been great, with Noah and today Abraham, but those are available usually by Saturdays or so, and they're available all weekend or anytime during the week, so we encourage you to keep tuning into those Connection Hour lessons. But we're in really kind of an unprecedented time, where we're trying to navigate all this stuff with the coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic, and it's shaken up a lot of the world and the churches. I've been in regular contact with the area pastors of how they're approaching this. And the common theme between all the churches is we don't know what we're doing. We're figuring this out week by week. We were launched into all online services for a while, and we figured all that out, and now we have a lot of suggestions and mandates given by the state that we're wading through as well. But one common theme that we share as leadership of this church and with the area churches is that we all feel it's important to view all of this in the context of love. How can we be the most loving of our neighbors and loving of the people in this church? Because that's really the most important resource in any church, is the people. And so that's why we had this plan created that's available on our website, or it was emailed to you on Friday. It's a lot of suggestions that are taken from the state, but we really wanted to make an area that felt as safe as possible for anyone that wants to join us. And we know that there's a lot of differing opinions in how we should go about reopening church and what people would like to see. But we really felt that making it a place that feels safe for everyone, that a stranger could walk in from the street or from the community and feel safe here, was our most important approach. And that's how we can love our neighbor. But we also know that everything we talk about or everything we plan is going to be changed week by week. And it seems everything's changing so quickly. And so we're going to keep up with those updates on a weekly basis and reviewing this plan and be in touch with you should anything change. But we do appreciate your prayers and your support and your patience during this time, because it really has been a time where we're figuring it out as we go along. And as I've joked this whole time, I really wish I wouldn't have skipped that global pandemic class in seminary, you know, the one I thought I'd never need. Well, they never offered it, but we're working through this, and I do believe as time goes on, we're going to work back towards the normal that we all know and we love. One of the things I've just missed with you all is taking that time to pray together in person, pray together live. We have been doing pre-recorded services, but now I just want to take that moment as we think about all we've been through over the last 14 weeks, that we continue to be praying about those things together. So join with me as we have a time of prayer together. So Lord, we do thank you for your faithfulness in your church, that you continue to work in amazing ways even when we don't understand it. In these last 3.5 months or so have been confusing at times. It's been difficult. I've missed seeing everyone, as I know we've missed seeing each other. But God, we know you're working through this in a special way, and you're breaking down walls, and we're taking a time to rest and reflect and really think about why it is we do what we do. And God, I keep coming back to the same thing, that what we do is about relationships. It's about first relationship with you, that we're continuing to be reconciled and made in right relationship with you, but also that we're in relationship with one another, that we have those encouraging and deep relationships, and also relationships with our community as we become your hands and your feet, as we become your love to this world, your light and your salt, and that we become salt in the world. So I do pray as we continue to work through this that all of us during this time would be motivated by that love and not by fear, not by anxiety, but that we do all things rooted in your love. We think about all that we've been through, and we just continue to pray for our state officials, our government, all those in healthcare, all those who are trying to make sense of this through research and creating guidelines and making the best of these situations. So we continue to pray for them for wisdom and for our just the unrest we've experienced both locally and now on a national level. God, it just seems like so many people are agitated right now, and there's just this spirit of anger that accompanies this spirit of fear. And so God, we pray for your peace in this time. We pray that people would come together in unity, and that starts in the church, that we'd be united with one another. And so God, I pray that we would come together and wherever we are, if it's in person or if people are joining from their homes where they feel more safe, that we'd continue to be connected in the unity of your spirit, God, because that's what causes us to be strong in these uncertain times. We also think about those who are grieving and continue to think about the passing of Jan Donnelly, and we continue to pray for Greg and that time that was so hard that we couldn't grieve together as a church family, and also with the passing of Ginger Farron and that private burial for the family, and again, a time we haven't been together to really grieve that passing. But God, we pray for all those who are experiencing loss in this time, and that we don't have the comfort that we can extend to one another as a church family, that we continue to reach out to one another, be praying for one another, and pointing each other back to you. And so now, as we focus our attention into your word, as we study this morning, just three verses, but really that remind us why we are the church and what we're here to accomplish. God, I pray that we would continue to grow in our relationships with one another as we experience your love in these amazing ways. We pray this now in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 10, we're going to read just three verses together, verses 23 through 25. But it is amazing to reflect on everything we've been through as a church, as a local area here in Minneapolis, as a nation and a world. A lot's been going on. And through that, we see a common message or a common slogan from various businesses and organizations that we're all in this together. And it's a beautiful reminder, just as people, that we can be here for each other and that nobody is alone. But also that's the perfect slogan for our church, not only in this time, but at any time, that we're in this together. No matter what we're facing, we're never facing it alone. We think about why we gather in a place like this, why we have the local church. It isn't just to bring people into a building together to sing a few nice songs, and it was great to hear those songs again live in person. It isn't just to hear a nice message and then pat each other on the back and go your separate ways through the week. But really, it's about building relationships, that the local church is strongest when there's strong relationships, that we be here together to celebrate the things we celebrate in comfort when there's times of mourning and loss and hardship. But now we're in a whole new era of our church, and I believe this is a temporary era, where we're encouraging people to gather, and we're encouraging people to stay home. And that's what we talk about in that preparedness plan, is that there's some, if you are prone to severe illness, or if you feel like you are experiencing symptoms of sickness, that we ask you to stay home, or if you just are feeling unsafe, that you would gather in your own homes and worship. But how do we keep our church together when we're apart? How do we stay in this together? Well, I think the verses we read today are addressing a very similar situation in the church that this was written to. There's a bunch of Jewish believers who are gathering, primarily in the Rome area. But they were experiencing great hardships and persecution. And some of them, when things got sticky, when things got difficult, they thought the easiest thing to do is just to stay home, or to go back to what I used to know, go back to the Jewish belief system, where it doesn't seem like there's much resistance and I feel more comfortable in it. But more importantly, it's not about being in a certain place at a certain time. That's the whole point of Jesus coming, is that we can worship from anywhere because of the new covenant he's created. But it's reminding us why we gather and the importance of our interactions and our relationships with one another. So let's read together verses 23 through 25 of Hebrews 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We think first about our hope in God as we hold unswervingly to this hope we profess. Now, hope is one of those words that gets watered down in our day and age. It's kind of been replaced with this idea of this wishful thinking, that cross your fingers and hope for the best. But the hope we have in the Lord is the only true hope in this world, and it's much deeper than that. Really, hope could be replaced with the word confidence or trust. that no matter what we're going through, we have this consistent confidence in the Lord. And this is the strength that brings us through the darkest times in our life, the moments that are difficult, where there's nowhere else to turn but the Lord. And oftentimes this world is short in hope, especially over the last 3 or 4 months. And we look to all these places to feel confident that when we're unsure, we can put all of our trust in this. It's 2020, an election year, and you're going to see over the next several months that all of your hope can be placed in this one person if they can get elected into office. And they'll come with all sorts of promises and guarantees. We know what happens with a politician's promise. Sometimes it comes through, maybe halfway, usually not at all. But the hope we have in the Lord is built on promises that never fail. And we'll get to that in a moment. But we know that this hope that we profess, we should hold on to unswervingly. Now, another way of translating that is we'd hold on to it fast or without wavering. And what this means is that we're intentional about maintaining and holding on to this hope. We're to never let go, as if we have this tight grip on it, because it's precious and important to us. Now, Manny and I just had a real-life illustration of what it means to hold on to something unswervingly. We shared with Mason for the first time a vanilla malt last week. We didn't know if he would like it. We learned that that was maybe a dumb question as a parent. Of course he'll like it. It's full of sugar and all the good stuff. And we gave him this vanilla malt, and he held on to it, and he had the straw in his mouth, and we saw him sucking on it for a while. We weren't sure if he was getting any, and all of a sudden we noticed the shake level was going down and down and down, this vanilla malt. And we realized he might be getting too much, so we tried to take this back from him, and his grip was getting tighter. He wasn't putting up much of too fussy about it, but he had started grasping tighter on the straw where he's flattening it out, and he knew how precious it was. And there was this moment where Mandy is trying to kind of take it away because she wants some malt too, and she didn't know how hard she should pull because if he lets go, it might fling up in the air. But, you know, thought about that. That's how we should hold on to the hope of God. It's a sweet and precious thing in our life. And there's a lot of things that want to take your hope away. There's a lot of voices in this world telling you that your hope is in something else. But if we were to hold fast and hold to it unswervingly, we hold on with a tight grip, knowing it is the most precious thing of our life and able to get us through any situation. Why? Because we read in the text, "For he who promised is faithful." We think of the amazing promises of God, that when we're afraid or we're anxious, we can take heart in the words given to Joshua to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's hope. If you're feeling weary and tired, in the words of Isaiah, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When you're confused or you're desperate, you remember the promise in Romans 8:28. That for those who love God, all things work together for good. When you're feeling inadequate or ashamed and you've messed up for the 1,000th time and you just don't know if you're cut out for this Christian thing, you're feeling inadequate because you're called to something that you feel unable to do, we can be confident in this. Again, that's hope, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. From Philippians 1. In short, it means that we can remember what we can be certain in, that the promises of God never fail. And as we gather as believers, we share in that common hope, but we also inspire and motivate each other to be everything we're supposed to be in Jesus. And that's the next verse, verse 24, that we should consider how we may spur one another on toward love in good deeds. Now, the words here for spurring each other on are also translated as stirring up or provoking. And this gives us an interesting illustration like that of a hornet's nest. Now, who's ever agitated a hornet's nest? Maybe on purpose or on accident. You know, it doesn't take much, just maybe a small stone thrown at the nest can make the whole hornet nest blow up with activity. Well, this is the same way that we're supposed to stir up each other, not in a way that we make each other angry. Maybe it's an imperfect illustration. We don't sting each other as hornets, but we motivate and inspire one another toward action. One of those ways you can do that is by leading by example. When you step out in a way of love that inspires another believer, we see them follow suit. For example, our Easter egg hunt was a small amount of volunteers who thought, a week out, let's just throw something together and see what happens. And now year after year, it's built up to the point where it's massive. And we have hundreds of people coming together to make this Easter egg hunt for thousands of attendees. And unfortunately, we haven't had the chance to do that this year. But Easter 2021, I think, is going to be even bigger. But another way we see that is by holding each other accountable. And that means we're keeping each other from being ineffective. And this is actually a reason a lot of people stop coming to church. I wouldn't say a lot, but some. They don't want to be challenged. If they feel the motivation towards change, they stop. But this is the most important part of our gatherings. One of them is that we stir each other up toward love and good deeds. And that's a great reminder that everything we do should be rooted in love. And as you said before, not in fear, not in anxiety, not in any of those terrible motivators, but that it's done through love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, we read about all the amazing things we could do in this life and in this world, but if it's not done in love, then you're only fooling yourself and you're only wasting your time. We also spur each other on toward good deeds. These are works that are motivated by that love. It's not those good deeds that if I do something nice, I'll get something back, or that we don't do these things to impress God or other people. These aren't good works that we think up ourselves, but they're the good works that God has planted inside each and every one of us. In Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do." In other words, when we spur each other on, we're inspiring and motivating each other to realize our full God-given potential. And we need each other for that. That's why we meet, that's why we have communities, and why we build such deep and meaningful relationships. See, we're not designed to do this thing alone. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say, come to faith in Jesus and isolate yourself so you can be a better Christian. It's all about community and finding and developing those meaningful relationships. You hear it said at times that salvation is just a personal issue. It's between me and the Lord, and it's for me to sort out. And in some ways, that's true. No one can come to a saving faith for you. But once you are saved, God is calling you to a community for fellowship. For very specific reasons, he has you there because of the gifts you have and because of those around you who will spur you on and motivate you and inspire you to be everything God has created and intended you to be. We truly become a family. That's why we're referred to as brothers and sisters. And like brothers and sisters, we may not always get along, but we're here for each other through the most difficult moments. And we build that kindred relationship that's really unexplainable. I don't know if you ever met that stranger on a plane or at waiting at a bus stop, and you start talking, and there's always that bit of awkwardness, but then if you find out they're a Christian, a relationship deepens quickly. There's trust that's built, and you know them as a brother or a sister in the Lord. And it's something unexplainable only except through the Holy Spirit working in you and that relationship. And like a family, it's when times become most difficult that we need each other the most. It's the times that we grow stronger together. And I heard it said that the church family is like a cluster of grapes that we all ripen at the same time when we need each other the most. And those relationships are built most effectively in the local church. And that's where we get to the last verse here, verse 25. That we should not be giving up meeting altogether, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, this could be referring specifically to the worship meetings that these churches would have had, usually in someone's home. Their size is between 10 and 40 people. And during this time, there's a lot of persecution going on, as we said, and the Roman government would find out where these secret meeting places were and bust them up. There's a lot of fear to be meeting in this time, because if you knew you were associated with these other Christians, that you were targeted. And so a lot of them started taking the easy approach. That just seems too risky. It seems too hard. And they started wandering away from those communities. As we read earlier in the book of Hebrews, a lot of those people in Hebrews 3 started wandering away from the faith. They started giving it up. And that's where our corporate fellowship is so important. And that's where we're in a tough spot right now. We're in that interesting tension where we are encouraging some to stay home because it's more safe for them there. And this is a temporary measure, of course. But we know there's others who are feeling, boy, this worship from home thing is kind of easy. I don't have to do my hair. I don't even have to put on shoes. I can just sleep in. And this is where it starts to get a little bit dangerous. If you're taking the easy route and you're not intentional about keeping those relationships, you start losing all these things that make us special as a family in these deep and meaningful relationships. See, we also have to understand the other side of it, that just showing up for church doesn't make us a church either. If the objective of church was to fill our pews with people, we could find a lot of creative ways to get bodies in this building. If you look under pews right now, there's a $100 bill for everyone who, I'm just kidding, that's not true. But we could fill up our pews every Sunday with an approach like that, but it doesn't make us a church. Church has never been about the physical gathering of people, but the deepening of relationships with one another. And that's where we see the most important part of this verse is encouragement. Giving up meeting wasn't the real danger here. The danger was missing out on the encouragement of other believers. And that's what's going to get us through this time where we have our in-person church and our online church, is that we encourage one another toward Christ. And encouragement doesn't mean just complimenting someone on their hair or that their dress looks nice today. Encouragement here means pointing them to Jesus, to be steering one another toward Christian values, encouraging them toward a deeper faith, and to remind them of the great hope we have in Jesus. And how often should we encourage believers? Just on Sunday? Well, the scriptures tell us that we should be encouraging believers every day for as long as it's called today. And what that means is in the text here we see the day is approaching. This is referring to the return of Christ, that every day we're here is one day closer to the return of Christ. And that means our importance for meeting together and encouraging one another grows with every day. For as long as today is today, it means it's a gift and an opportunity for you to point people to Jesus. To think about how we continue to encourage one another. Those who are going to be joining on the live stream for a while, I encourage you to be reaching out. And for those of us who are seeing each other, be reaching out to those you don't see. It's pretty easy to do now with cell phones and video chats. You can go knock on their door. Sometimes it's nice just to get a card in the mail. Usually all you get is bills and junk mail. To receive a nice card is a great encouragement. But now more than ever, we need to be continuing those relationships, especially with the people we don't see. To be praying for one another, that's a great honor as a Christian, to be able to pray for someone and to be prayed for, especially in difficult times. To remember milestones, to remember crises or difficulties of those around you, to reach out and ask them how the surgery went, to reach out and congratulate them on their anniversary. It means a lot for people when they're remembered in times like that. And the most important thing is just being intentional, taking time in your schedule and setting time each day to encourage those around you. See, the church is not made strong by the number of attendees, but it's about the depth of relationships. You have to ask yourself, especially in the weeks ahead, what is your goal in relationships with those around you in the church? Is it to impress them, or is it to impact them? One of the most impactful quotes for me is that you can only impress people from a distance. And if that's your goal, you never want to get close to them. You can only impact them from up close, and that refers to the depth of your relationship. And that's what makes us a church, is impacting each other. To hold unswervingly to the hope of Jesus, to inspire and motivate each other to your full potential, and to encourage and point them to Jesus for as long as today is today.